Feels good to be in the house of the Lord today, celebrating Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the New Testament church. I'm thankful for that day. That's the origin of us on that day. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with me to the book of Acts chapter number 2. I want to welcome all of our visitors that are here today. Of course, so thankful that you're here visiting with us, worshiping with us. Good to see Sister Julia back with us. Thankful that she's recovering from surgery. Amen. 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 Acts chapter number 2, and we're going to read 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, look at your neighbor and tell him, fully come. Full circle. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I know in today's Christian circles, it's a little more accepted, this speaking in tongues. There was a time when people just thought you were crazy. And there are still, I would say, there are people who would think we're crazy. But we didn't make this up. This is the Word of God. This is the God-breathed Word that we have. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to just speak to you on this subject today. It's time for Pentecost. It's time for Pentecost. Would you just lift your hands one more time and let's ask God to be with us over the next few moments. God, we need you today. God, we ask you to let your will be done in this service today. Let your word go forth. I pray, God, that you would speak to hearts and lives today, that you would reignite, God, those of us who have received your Spirit prior to this day, and that you would fill someone with your Spirit for the first time today. In Jesus' name, we lean on you wholly today, God. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and thanksgiving in advance. Lord, you're awesome and holy. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your touch. You may be seated this morning. Today is Pentecost Sunday. There's more of a chance that you'll hear this word. We hear word Pentecost all the time. That's who we claim to be. Pentecost by experience, apostolic in doctrine. But today, even driving through town, I saw on signs of denominational churches talking about Pentecost Sunday. This isn't something that's hid today. Many churches will speak about this, but there is something to, it's not just the scholarly learning of the Scripture. There's an experience that goes along with what Pentecost is. Paul, that we read about, of course, wrote so much of the New Testament. Paul, it was important to him, this significance of Pentecost. Paul wasn't even there on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were. The 120 were gathered in the upper room, but Paul was not one of them because at that time, Paul was Saul. And part of the reason that Paul was so excited about this new birth experience was because he saw firsthand the change that it brought to his life. He saw firsthand what it could do for him. That infilling of God's Spirit in his life began to turn his life around, and he was consumed with Pentecost. During his third missionary journey, Paul said he hurried to reach Jerusalem in time for Pentecost. He didn't want to miss what was going on. He told the Corinthian church that he planned to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. Paul had Pentecost always on his mind. He marked his time with it. It provided a rhythm for his spiritual life. He was, without doubt, an ultimate Pentecostal, even though he wasn't there on the day of Pentecost, because that experience was not relegated to a certain day. That experience that you and I and many of you in this room have experienced was not just put on that day in Jerusalem. It was without doubt an experience that anybody and everybody can be a part of today. Acts chapter number 20 and verse 16 says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." He wanted to be where the Spirit of God was going to be. Before coming to Christ, Pentecost, but the coming of Christ, Pentecost was just a joyful Jewish festival. It would celebrate the wheat harvest 50 days after the first fruits offering. And we don't necessarily have time today to dive into the ceremonial pieces of this, but it was not, Pentecost was not a word that was invented on the day of Pentecost. It was a feast many years before that that had been ingrained into the hearts and lives of the Jewish and Hebrew people. It also commemorated the day that Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But the Old Covenant version of this holiday, the Old Testament version of Pentecost, was just a foreshadowing of the great spiritual ingathering that would occur on the day of Pentecost, that day in Jerusalem. This time, the law of God was being not engraved on tables of stone. It would be engraved on tables of the heart. And if you look back in the history of the Jewish people and the Israelites, the day that Moses went up into the mountain to receive the law of God, there were 3,000 people, about 3,000, Scripture tells us, that perished because they touched the mountain. Because the law was so strict and so austere, that they weren't worthy of being near the law. But on the day of Pentecost, there would be a change. And the Bible says that about 3,000 were added to the church on the day of Pentecost. When he began to write on the tables of the heart. See, there's a difference between trying to live for God in black and white and trying to check off boxes of rules that were man-arranged. And then there's another piece of that when the Spirit of God begins to reign supreme in your life and begins to direct you, not by a list of rules, but by the Spirit that's inside of you, begins to show you and guide you and direct you and lay out your steps before you. There's a difference when the Spirit of God is living on the inside. Pentecost was heaven's inauguration ceremony for the church, complete with rushing wind and flames of fire and an astounding display of speaking in other tongues. In that moment, the men and women that were gathered in the upper room were visibly endued with supernatural power that they had been promised. And 3,000 people were converted in response to Peter's sermon on that day. What happened at Pentecost is the defining pattern for God's church, both then and now. I know you'll find some people today that will tell you that tongues have ceased. I'm just here to tell you that's not true. You'll find somebody tell you that's just for the disciples on the day of Pentecost, or those few people in the upper room, or those 3,000 that were added to the church. But I'm here to tell you, once you've experienced it, nobody can argue you away from it. Brother Damon, once you've experienced the power of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, there's not one person in this earth that can tell you that it's not real, because you know it to be real because you've experienced. That's why the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't just take somebody else's word for it. The infilling of the Holy Ghost brings life and light into a life today. There had always been a Pentecost in Jewish theology. It always been. But this year, the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible says. It was being fulfilled in their very eyes, in their lives that day. Acts chapter 2 is literally what we would refer to as the birth of the church, the very first time that people were ever baptized with the Holy Ghost, the first time people ever spoke in tongues, the first time anybody asked, what would he have to do to fix this situation in my life, the first time that anybody ever preached and received a response to the gospel was on the day of Pentecost. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33, the prophet said, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah never got to experience the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That Old Testament prophet felt the power and presence of God, no doubt, but he was before that a dispensation of grace. He was before the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. He could write about it. God would begin to pull back some curtains for him to see. He would experience it on a minuscule level, and he would put it out there because God was speaking it to him. But we're more blessed today than even Jeremiah because we experience it for ourselves. I'm thankful for an Old Testament prophet that would share what God would give to him in a vision or in a moment of prayer, but I'm even more grateful that it didn't stop there. I'm even more grateful that the presence of God is still alive, working today in my life and in your life. Hebrews chapter 10, 16 and 17, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Acts chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? who is in doubt? Those that were surrounding, those in the upper room, they heard them speaking in tongues. Others mocked and said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, in verse 14, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you, and hearken to my words, he said. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. I know you think you might understand what's going on, but these are not drunken as ye suppose. It's just the third hour of the day. But this, what you're hearing and seeing, and it's being displayed before you, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He begins to pull in some history for them, and he begins to enlighten them just a little bit. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They said, what does this mean? What's going on? And Peter said, this is that. This is that. What you're seeking is what Joel already prophesied about, what Joel wasn't able to, and Jeremiah wasn't able to experience. This is that. Joel said that God's spirit would be poured out, but if you recognize here in the book of Joel, he never mentioned speaking in tongues. It was Peter who connected the dots from Joel's prophecy to Isaiah's prophecy. Joel 2, 28 and 29, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. But Peter said, there's a connection to what Joel said and what Isaiah said in 28 verses 11 and 12. He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith I will cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Now, I'm thankful today for a disciple that was a discerner of the Spirit of God that said, this is what Joel said, and this is what Isaiah said. But when you bring these together, it's going to produce Pentecost, and it's going to produce change, and it's going to produce the church. 1 Corinthians 14 and 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all of that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Peter, this little statement, this little piece of a statement, this is that. It's so very important for you to grasp today. This, what is this? What they're talking about, what they're wondering about, what they're trying to figure out, this thing that I hear in my ears, these people, these unlearned Judeans are speaking in my language. I don't understand what's going on. Yeah, this, what you're experiencing is that. When the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost, the disciples spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. There's no disputing that. You won't find a church today in this city, this county, this state that will dispute the fact that they spoke in tongues, because the Bible clearly denotes that. Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 and 20, observed the evidence when the Samaritans received the baptism of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Somebody say evidence. Because if it were up to us, God knew that we would start bickering and fighting and saying, well, I don't know, you might have got it. You don't got it. No, there's an evidence that comes along with it. There's a sign. There's an outward sign. Not even so much for those around you, but so you yourself could say, that's not of me. What I'm beginning to speak was not something I learned in kindergarten. I didn't learn to write it in phonics class. It was the Spirit of God which gave the utterance of which I'm speaking today. That's what makes it supernatural. And by the way, this church is never going to be a place where we take you into a back room and begin to tell you how to speak in tongues. That's not of God. It's God who gives the utterance. It's not of man. You don't need to help somebody receive the Holy Ghost. When they're prayerful and they've given what God asked for them to give, He'll give them the Holy Ghost. Simon the sorcerer observed it. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius' household. We know this story. Most of you would know this story. The first Gentile to ever be engrafted into the church. He was a good man. He paid his alms. He prayed, but he didn't know God on that level. And so he reached down and God said, I want you to send for Peter. He's over there in Joppa, and he goes and sends some men to Peter. At the same time, Peter's having a dream. You know, sometimes God has to shake us just a little bit to get us out of our comfort zone. Because Peter, the guy who preached on the day of Pentecost on Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 10, didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles receiving the Holy Ghost. We better be careful when we think we've got a corner on this market. That we're the only ones that God's speaking to, and we're the only ones that God is pricking their hearts, and we're the only ones that God's waking up in the middle of the night. Peter, it's not all about you. It's about whosoever will. And so Peter decides, okay, whatever you say, God, I'm game. And so he goes with them, and they go to Cornelius' household. And the Bible says, while Peter yet preached, the Holy Ghost fell on them that believed, and they began to speak with other tongues. That sound familiar? It's because that's how it happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened when Simon the sorcerer observed the Samaritans receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a pattern, ladies and gentlemen, and it has not changed. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. That's what the Word of God shows us today. While they were yet, I'm just telling you, it's been a while since as I was preaching, somebody received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I would love for that to happen today. You're not going to interrupt me a bit if you stand up and God fills you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, because the entrance of thy word, Scripture says, bringeth light. While they were yet speaking, they filled them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God began to move in that room. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18, or actually Acts chapter 9, Paul, I talked about him in the beginning. Paul had this very experience. Bible says, for he spoke with tongues. And in 1 Corinthians, he told the church, he said, listen, I don't know what you're arguing about. I speak in tongues more than you all. All the way through into the New Testament. They say, oh, that's just for the book of Acts. Really? Because Paul is over here writing a letter to the Corinthian church saying, hey, I still speak in tongues more than you all. It didn't die in Jerusalem on that upper room. It didn't die that day and the 3,000 were added to the church. It didn't die in the Corinthian church in the beginning of that. He's saying, no, it's still going forward today. Acts chapter 19. They came across disciples of John. Good men. Men who were faithful, men who loved God, men who honored God and tried to do their very best to do what they knew to do in Scripture. We got to be careful marginalizing those people who don't see a full truth just because they don't have everything that we've been given. But there are people out there today that are in this community that love God, who give their alms, who trust in God, who pray, and their eyes may not have been fully open yet, but when they're hungry enough, God's going to fill them, and he's going to use you and me to do it if we'll let him do it today. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That means you can believe in God and not have the Holy Ghost. They ask him, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We don't know whether there be any Holy Ghost. He didn't chastise them. He didn't say, where do you hide under a rock? Didn't you hear about the day of Pentecost a few chapters ago? That's not what he said. He began to teach them. And the end of that day, as he began to leave that group of people, those good people that had come to that point doing everything that they knew to do had their eyes open. And the Bible says they were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and were speaking with other tongues and were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It's real. What we preach about, what we speak about, what we teach about, what we give honor to God for, it's real. This isn't man-made. This isn't controlled by man's opinion or philosophy. This is biblical. This is God-breathed. Can I tell you today that you don't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost through your head? It's through your heart. You don't intellectualize yourself into receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, because God says that I make the wise thing simple and the simple thing. Well, you may not understand because my ways are far above your ways, but if you'll just get it out of your head and say, God, I'm just hungry for your Spirit. I don't have to know how this all works. I don't have to solve the equation, but I'm hungry for a moving of the presence of God. You receive it through hunger. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 7, 37 through 39, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And they didn't just leave it up to our interpretation. He began to tell us what that meant. He said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of direction from the Scripture, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Just so you're understanding what I'm talking about, this is the Holy Ghost, which you've not received yet because he's not been glorified yet. For thousands of years, Pentecost had been in Hebrew theology. They could quote Pentecost. They knew the word. They understood what it represented. It had been in their theology, but it had not been in their experience. What a sad state of affairs today, when we could hear many denominational churches today speak of Pentecost and speak of the baptism on the day of Pentecost and not have an experience with it, just have a theology of a doctrine about what it might be. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's more to it than just a feast. There's more to it than just a celebration. There's more to it than just a day on the calendar. There's more to it than just a denote of a celebration. There's an experience that goes right along with it. You must needs be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Habakkuk chapter number 1 and verse 5. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Old Testament prophet. Acts chapter 13, verses 41. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will no wise believe, though it man declare it unto you. He's telling us there will be people that will despise this. There will be people that reject this. There will be people who try to marginalize the effectiveness of the gift of the Holy Ghost and say, oh, it's just for you. It's just for your friend, or it's just for your church, or it's a gift that a few people have, but not everybody have. There will be people that don't understand it, but it doesn't make it any less real or any less necessary for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This, the speaking in tongues, is that the outpouring of God's Spirit. This is that. What we're experiencing is what Joel was talking about and would have loved to experience on his own. Acts chapter 19 at Ephesus. We're talking to those disciples of John the Baptist. Paul didn't ask, do you believe there is a Holy Spirit? Because they could have answered that right. But he asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? When he prayed for them, they spoke in tongues like every other New Testament believer. So my question today is, if every other New Testament believer spoke in tongues and was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, why would we change that now? Why? Because we're a little bit more intelligent, because we know a better way, because we can figure out a way to be more inclusive, because we can be more hip, and we can be more popular by doing it another way. Is that why we change it? No. He said, you can't change one word. That's what he said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. So why would we try and change his word? If it's for us, if it's a gift for us, why would we not take it? The church and its doctrines did not produce Pentecost. Pentecost produced the church. The church did not write it into a law, did not write it into bylaws, did not write it into philosophy. Pentecost produced the church. Without Pentecost, there would be no church. It was not the preaching of the apostles that brought down power from on high. Instead, it was men full of the Holy Ghost that spent the rest of their lives trying to explain what God did on that day and the fact that it was still for everybody else that would believe. Experimental Pentecost, not doctrinal Pentecost, is what the apostolic church needs today. We need it more than just a theology that we can quote. We need to experience it today, because the right doctrine will always follow the right experience. The Bible says that the Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. Pentecostal preaching of doctrine may ensure that we believe in the Holy Ghost, but only Pentecostal preaching of spiritual hunger ensures that we will receive the Holy Ghost. A believed in Pentecost is good, but it was a received Pentecost that turned the world upside down. It's something, it's one thing to say, I know what Pentecost is. I know what the Holy Ghost is. And I can tell you some scriptures. That's one thing. But that's not what turned the world upside down. What turned the world upside down was some disciples and an extra 120 people up in the upper room that were filled with something that they couldn't even really explain. And they began to just tell people about what it did for them. And they began to testify both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's why the Bible says we will receive power after that we've received the gift of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Power. Why? To be witnesses. To share what God has done in our lives. A believed in Pentecost is good, but a received Pentecost will turn your city and your family upside down. It will change the dynamic of your school. It will change the dynamic of your family. Not just talking about it and trying to prove a point, the experiencing of it. Because it's His Spirit that breaks every yoke, not our knowledge. It's His anointing that breaks every yoke, not our ability to argue. It's His anointing. It's His power. It's His presence. Luke chapter 11, you can help me with the music, Brother Randy. 11 verse 13, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I'm here to tell you today, it's for you. If you've ever had a question in your mind, maybe this isn't for me, maybe it's for somebody, maybe it's my neighbor, maybe it's just somebody, I just don't know if this is for me. I'm just here to tell you today, it's for you. Acts chapter 2, we started with verses 1 through 4. First they experienced it, then they preached about it. Peter, the Bible says, standing up with the other 11, began to preach a sermon. That's all of chapter 2 of the book of Acts, all the way down to verse number 37, is Peter's sermon. He began to preach to them, and the Bible says that they were pricked in their heart. There was a conviction through the preached word of God, not because Peter was some learned orator, not because Peter was this impressive speaker, it was because he was full of the Holy Ghost. They were pricked in their heart. Said, men and brethren, what do we have to do? I understand that I've got to do something. I've got to change. I've got to fix what's going on in my life. So what is it that I have to do? And that's where we get down to verse 38 that many of you here today could quote. Peter responded to the question. This answer that we know so well was prompted by a question of what do we need to do? If we see our sin, if we see our situation and the need for change, then what do we do? And Peter said, I'm glad you ask. You need to repent. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for anything that I've done that's not of you. I'm sorry for any road that I've walked down that you've not wanted me to go. I just don't want to walk that way anymore. I want to walk towards you. Forgive me. That's repentance. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of those sins. Because the Bible says we are all sinners. We've all gone astray. Turn everyone to his own way. So when we're baptized in his name, every sin that we've ever committed is buried with him in baptism. And we come out clean, a new creature, ready to walk with him in a newness of life. And it says, and you shall, everybody say shall. Shall is a statement of command, and it's not a question, it's not a possibility. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then just in case somebody would want to come along and add to the end of this and make their own notation, Peter continues in verse 39. He says, because this promise is unto you, and it's unto your children, and it's unto those that are far off, and it's even unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. That doesn't sound like an end date to me. That's not an expiration possibility. That's to everybody today. It's for you. Stand with me today. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost today with evidence of speaking in tongues, it's a God thing, not a person thing. And God is here today. If you'll repent, God will fill you with His Spirit. You can be baptized in His name. If you've never been baptized today, we've got clothes and we've got warm water. And you could have every sin you've ever committed washed away in the waters of baptism today. It's for you. But I also want to end in speaking to those of us who've received this heavenly gift. speaking in tongues is the initial and universal evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But for those of us who have already received this gift, we've got to note that there were two other signs that accompanied on the original day of Pentecost. There were wind and fire. These are not meant to be experienced as personal evidence like tongues, because one, they had already happened in the Old Testament, and two, they never happened again in the New Testament. But this is the first mentioned principle at work. The first time anything happens in Scripture, its character is set by God. For example, the first time the devil appears in Genesis chapter 3, he's a serpent. And that's what he continues to be. When worship happens for the first time in Genesis chapter 22, it is with a sacrifice. And that's what worship continues to be. There's a first mention here. So in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it came to fruition. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Everybody say wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Everybody say fire. And it sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Wind, the breath or presence of God, God's anointing resting upon us. Fire, a refining influence, burning up sin in our lives. Because holiness is not a side issue. It's something that's dealt with by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. True Pentecost has to have both wind and fire. And we will not see the day of true Pentecostal harvest without both, because Pentecost is more than just tongues. That's the initial sign of receiving His Spirit. It's a seeking of the wind or the presence of the anointing of God, not being satisfied with what you received 5 or 10 or 15 or 30 years ago. It's a seeking of that wind, and it's an embrace. It's an embrace of the refining fire of the Spirit, not a pushing away. It's an embrace. So here's what I'm asking today as they begin to sing. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you would like to today, I would ask you to step out of your aisle and step forward. Our ministers are going to come and they will pray with you, and God can fill you today with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Or maybe it's been a while since you've experienced that infilling of the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's been a while since, like we were told, to stir up the gift that is within us. I would invite you to come today and allow Him to refill you with His Spirit one more time. There's not a more appropriate time than on the day of Pentecost, the birthplace of the church. Or maybe today it's been a while since you sought the anointing and presence of God in your life and allowed that fire of the Holy Ghost to refine some things. Because the Bible says if we'll trust Him in those refining moments, we're going to come out as pure gold. Maybe there's some things that need to be removed from your life today. And so this really applies to everybody today. So as they begin to sing, I wonder if somebody would be willing to step out and just say, God, I've come to receive from you today. I've come to receive whatever you've got for me today. God, if you need to refine some things out of my life, let the fire fall on me. God, if you need to let your wind blow through my life and get some things out that don't need to be there, I'm open to that today. Or maybe I've never received your Spirit. God, I want to receive it today. I want to walk out of here a new creature today. Come on, somebody begin to worship Him today. Lord, let somebody receive your presence today. God, we want to hear from you this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, let your will be done this morning in Jesus' name. It's time for Pentecost. Listen, we don't have time to play around with this church thing. We're in the last days. Somebody needs to hear me today. God, let your Spirit move in my life. God, let your Spirit move in my life. Who in this place has ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Just raise your hand. Now, if you didn't, and put your hands down. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you wish you never had, raise your hand. There ain't one person in this room that would say that, because there's something incredible about the Holy Ghost in our lives. So why aren't we sharing that with somebody else? If there's nobody, if it's 100% approval rating, then why are we not sharing it with somebody else? I'll just give you a little bit today of what I'm feeling. There's some, in some ways, we get so comfortable with just patting each other on the back and coming to church and saying, oh, wasn't that good? That was a great song. The reality is we're here to seek and to save those that are lost. Yes, God cares about us. Yes, God will challenge us as a church. But what our responsibility is to speak into somebody else's life. The Bible says you've received the Holy Ghost. You will be endued with power. What's the power for? So not so we can have incredible singing. That's just part of it. Not so we can have an incredible group of friends, that's part of it too, but so we will be witnesses to those around us. I pray that we would engage that purpose that's in us today. Engage that purpose of being a witness for what God has done in our lives, and let God use us for that purpose, because God wants to move in this community. God wants to share what we experience here on a weekly basis. God is wanting to deposit that in somebody else's life that's in your circle of influence. Might be on your job or in your family or in your school. It doesn't matter. Be willing to let God use you for that purpose. Because the infilling of the Holy Ghost is not for us to just feel good about it for the rest of our lives. It's so we'll be witnesses. So what are we doing with what God has given to us? That's my challenge today. This should be what church is about. Birthing new babes in Christ. Zion travailing until somebody is born. That's what we should be praying until somebody is baptized in his name and experiences that the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what we should be searching for and praying for. Let's not fall into that rut of just getting along and feeling great and singing and having church and missing the entire point of what he came to do, seeking to save that which is lost. So this is my challenge for you today. If you've received his Spirit, engage that purpose in your life this week. Because the gift of the Pentecost was not just for us. It's for those around us. It's for those that we can touch. It's for those in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's who the gift of the Holy Ghost is for us to impact their lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together today. Lord, I love you. Lord, your purpose is to see those that are not saved become saved. Your purpose, God, is for us to be able to reach into somebody's life with the testimony that you've given. God, for us to be able to reach into some family or some acquaintance, God, that we can share what you've done for us so you can do it for them. Lord, you've given us this, God, for power that we can be witnesses to somebody else around us. I pray that you would embolden us like never before to be the witness you've called us to be, or to be the intercessor that you've called us to be the impact that you've called us to be through your power, not through ours, God, but through the infilling of what you've given us already. The day of Pentecost. We thank you for what this day represents, for the power that we have received, for your Spirit, God, that's so incredible to lead us and to guide us. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise today. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Go tell somebody about how awesome God is. That's what your job is this week.